I encourage you to turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Now, as I mentioned last week, we gave a brief overview of the background of the church in Corinth, that it was a church that was really struggling in many ways. They were people that were influenced by the culture that was oftentimes accepted. They were common practices. You know what I mean by common cultural practices? There are things in our world today that people just do, and it's just part of our culture. So if it's part of our culture and it's common, then it must be okay. Paul is trying to instruct and encourage the church in Corinth that some of the things that they were doing, although it was part of the culture, although it was common, are not okay, but not so much in a sense that, you know, I'm good, you're bad, but in a sense that he wanted them to understand who they were in Christ. And so they were experiencing these cultural blind spots, if you will. You know, for the centuries, you know, even in the church, experienced cultural blind spots. What I mean by that is that sometimes the church got caught up in things that they thought were right, but weren't right. We see from history and church history about the Crusades. We understand about the persecution of Christians. You know, in the 16th century alone, more Christians were persecuted than were persecuted by the pagans in the first three centuries of the early church. More Christians were killed and persecuted in the 16th century. I'm talking about the Reformation. Protestants were killing Catholics. Catholics were killing Protestants. There were people that were being killed just because they didn't believe in infant baptism. And it was Christians killing Christians. So sometimes we get caught up in the culture, what we think is right or what's wrong. And Paul wants the church here in Corinth to understand from God's word that we're not caught up in this cultural sense. We're caught up, most importantly, what God says. I want to give you an exercise this morning. Have a little fun this morning. I want you to turn to the person on your right. Turn to the person on your right and say, "You have a beautiful body. But it's not yours."
You have a beautiful body.
Now, okay. Now, I knew you'd have fun with that. Now, turn to the person on your left and say, "You have a beautiful body, but it's not yours." Well, you know, it's interesting that I say the word body and everybody gets excited. You know, it's interesting because, you know, we have this sense that our body is ours. We can do whatever we want to with it because it's ours. Paul takes this particular passage, and God speaks to us in this passage, and he turns it upside down so that we are not influenced by the culture, but by what God says. So turn with me here, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. I'm going to read this here this morning. The scripture says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and stomach for the food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Your body is not your own. It belongs to someone. If you have put your faith in Christ, your body, like everything else, belongs to God. And so in this culture here in Corinth, as we spoke about last week, we learned that Corinth was a city and a culture that it was tough, in that the culture was how they were practicing. Remember I said that in Corinth they had this ancient temple of prostitutes. What was happening was that it was a religious practice for these people to go and have a sexual relationship with a prostitute in this temple. It was actually considered a religious practice. And after all, if it was their body, they could do whatever they want to with this. Well, what happens? The gospel comes in, and the gospel says, you're free. And so they thought they were free from everything. But Paul says, no, wait a minute. No, you're not. No, you're not free. And so he says here in verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me. You know, we need to be reminded that culture or slogans can blind us to our needs. In other words, we all have needs. And so here in verse 12, the scripture says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Maybe in some of your translations in your Bibles it says, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. What's happening here? Paul wants the Corinthians to understand that if you think that you own your body and that your body is for yourself, then everything that you do for that body to feed it becomes your master. It actually begins to take control over your life. And that's what he wants us to understand here, is that our bodies were created by God and for God. And so he continues here and look at verse 13. He says, food is meant for the stomach, stomach for the food. And God will destroy both one and the other. Okay, so we understand that you need food to live. You need nourishment, right? You can't get nourishment unless you eat food. And God has designed our bodies in such a way that he has given us a stomach. And there's all the biological processes that happen when we eat food, and the body absorbs nutrients, and it is good for us. So God has made these things. And so the Corinthians were thinking, you know, well, this is my body, and I can do whatever I want to with it. And what's the point, too, anyway? Because when I die, it's going to pass away. And he says here, he says, God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant. And then he continues here in verse 13. He says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Okay, two things. We each have a craving. We get hungry, right? We're going to go to worship after this, and then it's going to be lunchtime, and then something's going to be growling, and you're going to listen to that alarm, okay? So you're going to have a need for food. Well, that is a desire. God has given us that for our own good. Likewise, he has also given us sexuality, and he's given us sex in the context of a marriage relationship, that it is good in the context of marriage for us and for the reason of procreation. to have children, to have families. At the heart of this is the right doctrine of families, and it is also the right understanding of sex. He uses food here just as one way for us to look at as our physical bodies. Because oftentimes is that, you know, the culture thinks of sex as just something for the body. And what he's saying here, no, it's not. You know, Dr. Tony Evans said that, I think that sex has become America's drug of choice. The early Puritans act as if sex did not exist. But America, you know, treats sex as it's the only thing that exists, right? It's everywhere. I mean, you don't have to go, but just down the road, it's on the billboards, it's on the magazines, it's on the internet, it's on TV, it's everywhere you look. And so what happens is that we get caught up into this culture, but we're not to be caught up in culture or slogans, because those are the things that blind us. That's what was happening here in the early church here in Corinth. And so, you know, oftentimes we understand, and like the Corinthians, they thought they were free. They could do whatever they want. Paul says, in fact, also in Romans, I want us to look for a moment in Romans chapter 6. He made this clear, Romans 6, 1, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? In other words, okay, you think you're free, so you could just go on and do what you want to do. And in verse 2, he says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? In other words, you're not the same man. It's not about just doing what you want to do, because your body and those things that want to become your master, if you're in Christ, those aren't your master. Christ is your master. And so he gives us this perspective, this understanding of who we are in Christ, but more importantly, what our body is and what our body's for. Here and also now in verse 15, the scripture says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? The Greek there means almost as if it's limbs. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? They're limbs. They're a part of the body of Christ. And also we as a church are collectively are part of the body of Christ. So these Corinthians that were coming in that were thought they were free and they could do whatever they want were coming in. And Paul's like, it's harming you. And it's harming the church. And he wants them to understand that. He goes, that do you not understand these things? He wants them to understand. And he says here, in the continuance here, verse 15, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? And he says, never. And then in verse 16, he says, or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. Jesus also spoke about that in Matthew 19:5. Jesus said, he spoke about one flesh and about marital fidelity. Matthew 19:5, Jesus said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Don't you love it when the Bible testifies to itself? Paul says it because Jesus said it. And he also said it also in, God said it in Genesis 2:24. That when man and woman come together as one flesh, they come together as one in unity. To glorify God. That one flesh, it says here, they're to be joined together, they're to be fastened, they're to be cemented, they're to be one. The pieces come together, the joints and everything just fit into place as one. And what he's saying here is they're to become one flesh. And he speaks about this in the sense of, he's warning them against sexual immorality. So Corinth was a world filled with sexual immorality. And, you know, sometimes, even in the church, because we're human, the church, even now and today, experiences sexual immorality based upon culture. You know, there are churches that think that it's okay for couples to come in and they're just cohabitating together or they're living together. And it's okay because they're in a loving relationships. Or if there are genders of the same that come together in homosexuality, there are some churches just say, you're in a loving relationship, it's okay. And so we even have some churches that allow the clergy to do this. And they say, in the context of a loving relationship, it's okay. And so what God is saying here is that that is sexual immorality. The Greek word there is the porneia, meaning, well, we get the word pornography from. There's pornography pervades our society. So when you look at this text and you go, yeah, but I don't live in ancient Corinth in the first century. So what does this mean to me? Folks, we have this throughout our world today. You even experience it sometimes when you go to the grocery store. It's on the rack in the magazines. Guys, if you're in a sporting goods store, you see those fishing magazines, and sometimes you'll see a woman with a big catch of a fish, and she's holding a 20-pound fish, and she's got about 2 ounces of clothing on. And it don't look like there's a lot of fishing going on there. I'm just saying. We experience that in our world today. Or sometimes somebody gets what seems like a harmless calendar and it happens to be some good-looking firemen on there. You know what I'm saying? Why? Well, the culture says it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Paul says when you're doing that, you're bringing Christ in to that. Look what he says here, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You know, when a woman who is carrying a child is addicted to drugs or she's addicted to crack, she gives birth to that child. And what happens is that that child is addicted to crack. That child, that baby, when it's born, becomes an involuntary participant. If a woman is carrying a child and she is an alcoholic and she abuses alcohol, then that child becomes an involuntary participant to that alcoholism. And sometimes you see the effects of that child. It's called fetal alcoholism, right? Child didn't do anything wrong. Became an involuntary participant. When we become a participant in sexual immorality and we are believers, we are Christians, what he's saying is that you bring Jesus to become an involuntary participant into that immorality. And that's what he's saying there in verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Jesus is inside you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, you can't do that. You can't bring him in to be an involuntary participant. Why? It's not your body. And God says, this is going to harm you. Culture or slogans can blind us to our needs or what we perceive our needs. Culture can blind us to our relationship with God. But more importantly, culture doesn't own you. Christ owns you. And that's what he wants us to see here. Look with me, if you will, now into verse 18. The text says, flee from sexual immorality. Flee. Don't run. Or, pardon me, It says flee, meaning run. In other words, don't stand there thinking I'm so strong that I can stand up to this. Come on, ex-sexual immorality, what you got? He says run. The Greek word there means to run to safety. You know, if you have to run to safety, that means you must be in a dangerous place, right? You're not going to just go running somewhere out of the habit of running. It's because you oftentimes you find yourself that you got caught up. The Corinthians were getting caught up into a situation that was all around them. We become, in our culture today, surrounded by situations, and all of a sudden, we're in the middle of it, in a dangerous situation. So Paul says, don't just think you're strong. He says, flee. Run from it. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that the body, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Culture does not own you. Christ owns you. And it says here in verse 20, for you were bought with a price. You're bought with a price. And so what happens in the beginning of this text here, what we see is that we often think that our bodies are our own. And that we could do whatever we want to. We can bring whatever into that body. We can associate that body. And God is saying, that's not yours. That's mine. You're mine. And Christ has bought us with a price from the blood on Calvary. You know, if I were to... I want to speak about grace for a moment. I want just to use a simple illustration. If I was to take a $20 bill and I was to give it, well, Sully's hands start going up when I grab it. If I was to give this $20 bill to Brother Ken and say, and then Brother Ken, after church, he went to Rosemary, his wife, and said, you know what, I got $20 here. We can go have a free lunch. Well,
Where is that?
For the purpose of an illustration. So if he goes to his wife and say, honey, lunch is free today. Well, it's free for them, but somebody paid for it. I paid for it. Listen, don't let anyone, you're welcome. That's an expensive lesson for me today. Don't let anyone tell you grace is free. It's free to you because you were bought with a price. It cost God His Son. Grace is not cheap and grace is not free, but God has freely given it to us. Why? Because you were bought with a price. And God wants us to understand this. You know, I think sometimes when we look at sexual immorality and we think sometimes, well, okay, I've been married for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, or however long, and so this doesn't apply to me. And, you know, maybe if you happen to be a senior adult, I'm not calling anyone out, but if you happen to be a senior adult, we sometimes we look at this and I think it's no big deal. I was driving down the interstate last night and I saw this billboard that was advertising a community and it said, Florida's friendliest hometown. And Florida's friendliest hometown happens to be a community that has the highest percentage of sexually transmitted diseases. I guess it is America's, Florida's friendliest town. But do you know that Florida's friendliest town is a senior adult community? It has the highest percentage per capita of sexually transmitted diseases in the state of Florida. And it's so don't think when we read this passage, this doesn't matter to me. Or this doesn't matter to my neighbor. Folks, this matters to all of us. We're not to be influenced by the standards of the world because we are to glorify God with our bodies and the bodies that He has given us We're to stay pure, not involving our bodies with sexual immorality. We're not to engage in sexual immorality, and because Jesus is our master. Christ is our master. You know, we're kind of like a radio. Any of y'all still listen to the radio? Okay. Do y'all know how a radio works? But you have a radio. You might not know how it works, but you have a radio. There are radio waves. And so a radio has been constructed in such a way that it is able to interpret the radio waves and the frequencies. And out of a radio comes valuable communication and information and news and music and talk shows. We are, in essence, God's radios. Why do I say that? You see, a radio is a conduit for that information. God has made us to be conduits for His purpose and His glory. We're His radios, in a sense. We are His conduits. We are His agents. We are the ones that are sharing the testimonies. We are the church that are ministering to people. And because God has said, this is not your body, this is my body for my purpose and my glory. And what we find out is that, in essence, when we do that, when we begin to have that understanding, that right understanding that is not dominated by culture, by magazines or television or lifestyles or what the culture says, we begin to understand that these things are because these are good for us. Because God loves us as a loving Father. And so, here He gives us this in verse 20, this instruction. He says, so glorify God in your body. You have a beautiful body, and you're to glorify God in that. There was a little girl in church service one day, and she was a little girl, probably about 8 or 9, and as the ushers were coming across the pews, they passed an offering plate to this little girl, and she took the offering plate, and she put it on the ground, and she got inside the offering plate. And the usher went up to her, and he said, honey, what are you doing? And she said, well, we learned in Sunday school that our whole bodies are supposed to be an offering to the Lord. She got it right. Let your offering, let your body be an offering to the Lord. Paul said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship God to the glory, for His glory, with your body and not what the world tells you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. Father, thank you that you give us your word, Father, so we could be used, that we could be your agents of change, Father, for your glory, and that we're not to live our bodies for ourselves, Father. We're to live for you. So, Father, help each of us today continue to look at the world around us and the culture around us and not be dominated by that, by Father, but be conformed and be transformed by your word and the study that we've already heard here this morning. Lord, let us go out and live our lives in such a way that is holy and pleasing to you. Help us to share our testimonies in Christ and what you have done, and help us to continue to share the gospel for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.